Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the AA Amazing. Your host, as always, Jamie Briggs, editor-in-chief of Analog Addiction. Welcome back. It's been a few weeks since we had our Game of the Year talk episode. Thank you very much for listening to that one. A lot of good feedback from that. If you didn't know, we haven't had a few episodes because I went in for knee surgery. I survived. That was a good thing. And now I'm back. Like I said, been recovering over the last few weeks. I'm back in a business now. So we are back on the AA meeting. We should have more guests next week. Again, this episode, a little bit more hectic to put together. It's been quite busy on our end. And I will let you know about why that is later on in the episode. Firstly, as always, we talk about what I've been playing. And I have been playing a lot over the past week. If you haven't been checking out Analog Addiction, I put up two reviews. One of those was for Tomb Raider Definitive Edition for the PS4. Now, I loved Tomb Raider last year. Excellent game. It's only been about 8 months since the original release. Maybe 10. Around about that time frame. But, you know, it still holds up very well. Playing it the second time, I love the story again. Graphics is a pretty big jump from the PS3, Xbox 360 version. The only thing was, when I played the 360 version for review last year, I never thought, man, I wish this looked better. Like, it already looked gorgeous, and I stated that in the original review, and now it just looks better, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. The combat's still great, the exploration is great. It's really massively crafted. The incentivizing of, you know, go explore this, and then you'll get upgrades, more XP. It's great. It really is. I gave it a 9.2. That's 0.2 higher than the original release. I do think the graphical fidelity is a lot better. The weapons on Lara's body, you know, it moves around while you're running around. It feels more realistic. So does the hair. And, you know, it just looks more vibrant. The world itself just looks more detailed. And there's a lot better textures, lighting, all that stuff. Multiplayer component, I played a fair bit of it. I've actually got the platinum in the game because I couldn't stop myself from playing this, and the multiplayer is still fairly average. It's not bad. Like, I went through this with Vlad, one of our other editors, and we both agree it's not amazing. It's definitely not an amazing multiplayer suite. It's fairly basic, but the problem is there's no one around. If there was more players there, it'd definitely be more entertaining, because you can find yourself constantly being spawn trapped, because there's usually one area your team spawns and you can't leave it if someone quits out in the game, because there's usually about 4 or 5 people there. If one or two quit out, you're stuck being spawn trapped against a whole team, which can be quite frustrating. And I think that's going to turn a lot of people off the multiplayer, and I think that's going to definitely keep the community very small. And I would suggest, if you're looking to get that platinum, maybe hop on very soon to try and get those multiplayer trophies. Next, I have been playing Warframe quite a bit, not amazing amount, but it's a free-to-play game for PS4, it's been on PC for a while now. It's very mediocre. It took me a while to finally understand what was happening, how everything was going on, and once I finally figured that out and set goals for myself, what weapons I want to craft, what Warframes I want to build, it just got to the point where I'm just kind of done with it, because the gameplay doesn't change up that much. You know, you go through these very generic looking levels, you face these enemies just repeatedly spawning enemies that are just similar to each other no matter what stage you're on, and, you know, you try to get more credits, you try to go through and get some loot drops and all that sort of stuff so you can build and craft other things, but without actually investing money into the game, you're going to be spending dozens and dozens of hours grinding in hopes of getting credits. Because let's be honest, and I'll point it out, if you die during a game and don't make it all the way to the end, you lose all the credits you have earned for that match, which is very disappointing, because you get like 4 revives per day, every 24 hours, so you can have 4 shots at a level. If they go, then you need to pay real game money, real money, to get more revives, unless you're willing to wait 24 hours. So it kind of turns into a real grind fest. if you will. Like, I went back to older levels in hopes of upgrading my guns and my Warframe up so I'd be more stronger for the later levels. But the problem is, you need to basically collect mods that are dropped from enemies, and if you don't, you know, if you don't have the luck where they drop, you're stuck with these weapons that are continuously upgrading, but they're not getting any stronger, because these higher powered mods are what you need to make your gun stronger. So it's basically a sort of chicken and the egg sort of thing. Like, I want to get this weapon, it's really powerful, which requires credits, which requires me to go play harder levels to get credits, but I can't do that because I don't have a stronger weapon, which is what I'm trying to get. So it's kind of this cycle of doing the same thing repeatedly. And the other problem is, a few of my friends have been playing it, and I can't join a lobby with them. I can join a lobby with any other person except people I know, which is very strange, and for a multiplayer-centric game, that's quite odd. You know, there's no error messages, it's just saying, oh, your friend isn't playing a session, when he is, and we're on party chat, and it's not working. It's quite disappointing, it's depressing almost, that Tomb Raider multiplayer can fix this, yet Warframe can't. So, you know, I'd say give it a shot for free. You know, trophies are there now, and, you know, you might find yourself really addicted to the combat, but don't expect anything too good. It's very generic. Moving along, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon White, not so much over the last few days, too busy with reviews, but I'm enjoying it. Hopefully finish it this week. I will let you know how I feel about it next week. And yeah, I don't have Pokemon X or Y yet, so I'm playing one of the few 3DS games I still have and haven't finished. Next, Wolf Among Us, Smoke and Mirrors, the episode 2, after months and months of waiting, finally came out. Really good episode again. I gave it an 8.6, definitely not as strong as episode 1, and there's actually sections in episode 2 that really soften the blow of some of the plot points in episode 1. Those that have played it will know what I'm talking about, but I won't go into any specifics because I don't want to spoil it. I would say, if you're looking to play this, really avoid video reviews, because there was a couple of sites, IGN in particular, that were literally spoiled some of the major plot points in the episode in the video review. So I would 100% stick away from that. Maybe if you want, read some reviews, make sure they're spoiler free if you're looking to go in fresh, and I think that's the best way to do it. I'm still loving the fact I have two playthroughs going. They're both very different. I was explaining it to some of the other editors, it's not so much how drastic the ending is of every episode, it's more how different the journey is. It reminds me of Mass Effect in that way. Like, my journey from Mass Effect 1 to Mass Effect 3 is really unique and distinct to how I played, and that's how Wolf Among Us is feeling for me. And sure, there's these landmark pieces that are going to happen no matter what, and you don't have an effect on them, but it doesn't take away from the experience. That journey, that experience, that really just choosing how people react to you and what you've done is what makes Telltale so great. And they're really nailing it with The Wolf Among Us. Even with the second episode, it feels like it's more setting the groundwork for episode 3, 4, 5, but it did it in a much better way than Walking Dead Season 2's debut did, whereas that tried to set the groundwork, but it didn't quite stand on its own. It was sort of like, okay, this feels like the beginning of a story, rather than a whole story on its own, whereas Episode 2 does feel like its own story, but it also feels like it's building up for future episodes, which is hard to do, and the fact that they were able to juggle both is great. And I will say, I have to praise Telltale. Basically, Episode 2, technical problem free, there's nothing wrong with it. I played on Steam, there was no frame rate issues, there was no freezing, there was no stuttering, it was perfect. Keep it that way, Telltale, please. Alright, so that's all I've been playing. Now on to the news this week. We have 10 news stories to get through, then some announcements at the end of this episode. So let's hop right on into this. Let me put my glasses on here. Now, over the past week, we had Take-Two Interactive come out and let everyone else know that they have shipped 32.5 million units worldwide of Grand Theft Auto 5. Now, that's an astounding number, and you do have to keep in mind that this is shipped. This is not purchased by the consumer, which is still a high level, but it's definitely, you know, you will find GTA 5 on shelves. There are ones that have been purchased by stores that haven't quite been sold to the consumer yet, but definitely they've sold a lot of copies, and it was an excellent game, runner-up for a game of the year last year. Definitely play GTA 5 if you haven't already. Story number two, Murdered, Sole Suspect. Now, if you haven't been following this game, definitely check it out. Sole Suspect looks like the real deal. It looks like a really interesting title. You know, you're this detective, he gets shot, he doesn't know who did it, and he has to try and solve his own murder. Sure, that sounds cool, that sounds alright, but he's actually dead after the shots. So he's a ghost, and he has to try and hunt down who killed him and figure out who did it and put him away. That's what makes it so interesting. You use ghost abilities and everything like that. We have multiple gameplay gameplay videos on the site to go check out if you're looking for that. But the great news is it is now coming to Xbox One and PS4. We didn't know it was coming to 360 and PS3, and that was one of the main reasons I said last year to hold on to your current generation consoles. Now that it is coming out, that's great, you know, and I'm really excited for it, so definitely keep an eye out for that one. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag single player DLC will be going standalone. That was the Freedom Cry DLC, which takes place, pretty sure it's about maybe a decade after the events of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. You take on the role as Adewale. If you have played that, he is the first mate of Edward Kenway. And yeah, we get to see how he's becomes a trained assassin and everything like that, and his story, which I've heard fairly decent. But yeah, that's going to be standalone starting February 25th. It doesn't look like Xbox players themselves will be getting it standalone. It's just going to be PS4, PS3, and PS4, PS3 will be getting it February 19th, while PC will get it February 25th. So no word on Microsoft consoles yet. Moving on, Irrational Games confirmed that Burial at Sea Episode 2, which is a Bioshock Infinite story DLC, will be coming out March 25th. So that's really close. Just under 8 weeks away. Apparently it's going to be a lot longer than the first one, and it's going to be following Elizabeth. And the lone screenshot we have seen are Elizabeth with a crossbow of sorts. So, you know, apparently it's going to be less combat-based. So be interested to see how that goes about. I haven't played Episode 1. I am interested in doing it. I am planning to go back and get the Platinum in Bioshock Infinite, so I'll probably pick up Episode 1 and 2 when I do that. Moving on to story number 4. We had some news break last week about Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zero's length. Now, if you don't know, this is a not so much a demo as like a sort of preview experience before Phantom Pain is released. Now, it's short. There's a lot of people that came out, some reviewers that actually got a look at it and said they finished the main story in 2 hours. Now, there was a lot of outcry at Konami, you know, Hideo Kojima himself coming out and saying, you know, sure, if you just do all the main stories, you know, it might be quicker, but there's a lot more to do in it. And there's been a lot of outcry because this is $20 for a digital copy, $30 for a physical copy on last generation consoles, and then $30 for a digital and $40 for physical on next gen. So if you're looking to try out Ground Zeroes in retail on PS4, you're looking to pay $40 for a game that might go for 2 hours. Now, we have seen DLC that's been short before. You know, Burial at Sea Episode 1 was short. Blood Dragon, which was a Far Cry 3 expansion, or, you know, DLC story expansion, whatever you want to call it, was fairly short too, but they were ranging around maybe $12, $15, whereas this is a hefty amount of money for what it seems like will be a fairly short DLC. So I hope this is really pushed, that this isn't the full game, because I think a lot of consumers Metal Gear fans, you know, it's a huge franchise. I think they might be a little bit confused. They're going to retail. They see a Metal Gear retail disc. They assume, oh my god, this is new Metal Gear. They go home, pick it up, and they're done within a day. It's like, I think people might be a little confused about it if they're not, if it's not truly explained. And I know Konami hasn't, they're not in the best financial state, so you know it makes sense that they wanted to try and get as much benefits from the Metal Gear franchise as they could. But yeah, hopefully it's not a big confusion to the consumer, which is what they really need to worry about. Over next, PS4 news, The Order 1886 will be single player only, and it will run at 30 frames per second in 1080p. Now, am I the only one who's just sick of all this frames per second stuff? I really, personally, let me explain myself. One, I never really tell the difference. Unless someone showed me the difference before in videos, and I really find it hard to tell. And secondly, I don't mind if a game's 720, like we saw, what was that? I think it was like maybe, Rise, Son of Rome, what was that? That wasn't 1080p and it looked amazing. It's probably one of the best looking games ever. So really, if it's running in 1080p, who really cares? To be honest, I don't care. I love games no matter what the graphics are. Graphics are always really down the line of what I'm actually looking for from a game. Sure, they're always a good thing and I'll take them if they're there, but I'm not going to go insane over it. But yeah, it was confirmed, no multiplayer, doesn't look like it's going to be in a co-op, it's just going to be single player. So, Ready at Dawn is just going to be focusing on that. I'm really interested and looking forward to The Order. So, no release date yet, it's still set for 2014 at some time. Moving on, number 7, Child of Light, the beautiful looking RPG coming from Ubisoft, using the Framework engine, which is the same engine that was used for Rayman Origins. Rayman Legends. That's what I meant. Rayman Legends. Anyways, the UbiArt Framework engine makes the entire game look gorgeous. It will be coming up April 30th for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC and Wii U. So there's a lot. It's coming everywhere, almost. Except for Vita and 3DS. So if you're looking to get this game, apparently it's only going to $12. I think that's English, European money, whatever that is, I don't know. I'm ignorant. But yeah, it's not going to be expensive. It looks like there's going to be a lot of content in it, and it looks gorgeous. So that's definitely a game to look out for coming at the end of April. Next, the Titanfall Xbox 360 version has been delayed. Now, this is not going to affect the Xbox One version. This is literally just the 360 version. It is delayed until March 25th and March 28th. March 25th in North America and March 28th in Europe. And it was originally planned to be March 11th North America and March 13th in Europe. So, it's only a 2-week delay. Nothing too amazing. Nothing too huge. But they were just like, apparently they just want to fine-tune it a little bit more. So they're giving it the extra 2 weeks. Now, the Xbox One and PC versions are still on those original dates. So if you're looking to pick up the title on those systems, don't worry, it will still be there on launch day. Next, a fairly big story that we heard during the week. We do know, you know, this Call of Duty game every year is usually 2 year cycles in between each game. It's very similar to the Assassin's Creed games. We now know that that's going to change this year as Sledgehammer releases whatever Call of Duty game they are releasing on the first 3-year development cycle. So this means now we have Infinity Ward, Sledgehammer, and Treyarch developing titles. Now we know Neversoft has been helping other companies with their Call of Duty games. Pretty sure they did help with Ghost and maybe the one before that, Modern Warfare 3 or Black Ops 2, whichever one it was. But yeah, this could be really good for the franchise. You know, Ghost wasn't really well received. It was really mixed in the critical department, but it didn't seem to really stop sales wise but you know, more years in development can only be good for the franchise. I would love to see Ubisoft now do this with Assassin's Creed. Perhaps even take a year off. because Assassin's Creed is a great franchise, and it could really benefit from a year off. So keep that in mind, Ubisoft. So yeah, that's the new thing for Call of Duty fans. You're going to be having, hopefully, a better quality title every year. Now, last story, and this sort of ties into some of the announcements I have to make. Future Lab has released, they released new screenshots earlier last week, and then they released a new trailer for Velocity 2X, which is running the alpha version of PlayStation 4. Now, if you don't know what Velocity 2X is, it's a follow-up to Velocity and Velocity Ultra. Velocity Ultra was just the, you know, sort of bigger version of the original Velocity, and it was a Vita title, excellent game, hectic shooting gameplay, brilliant visuals, and the new Velocity 2X will feature not only space combat, but it will also be featuring some puzzle platforming on foot sections, and it looks really impressive. The soundtrack song that's going along with the trailer is really addictive. I really loved it. I will hopefully include that trailer underneath the podcast in the post on Analog Addiction, so check that one out. And yeah, this does lead into one of the announcements, now that we're done with the news. I have an interview with Future Lab. I have questions sent off. A lot of hard-hitting questions. I don't want to need to toot my own horn, but keep an eye out for that one very soon. That's in the works over the next few weeks. Alongside that, I have another interview with a pretty big PlayStation developer. Now, they're not exclusive, but they've done some really big titles, and I don't want to spoil it again. I'll probably have more information on it next week, but that interview is underway. We'll be sending off those questions very, very soon. So, if you are an Analog Addiction fan, you want to know what studio we are actually going to be interviewing, go check out the Analog Addiction fan page, and then from there you can get to the group. Go into the group. Best way to find out what new interviews are coming up, and you can ask questions to these dev teams yourself. And yeah, go to the group, check it out, and you can see what big Sony franchise Sony developer we are actually going to be. Don't get me wrong, that's probably the bad way to say it. It's not a Sony developer, but they do align themselves with Sony quite often. They're not exclusive though, so go check that out if you want to go and ask some questions. Now, from there, now if you've been following us at all on the Twitters or the fan page on Facebook, we have an extensive interview with CG Projekt Red coming up. So they are the Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk 2077 developers. Huge game coming out later this year, and I've seen the interview. It looks great. There's some really good questions there, so keep an eye out for that coming very, 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 very soon. Alongside that, we have a ongoing, well, it's not coming up, but editors working on the Danganronpa, I think it is, Trigger Happy Havoc. It's the Vita game, sort of like Phoenix Wright, almost Persona-ish on Vita, which is coming out very, very soon. Our review of that will be coming up. And we also have some new editors on board, some new Nintendo editors. So if you're a Nintendo fan, there's going to be a lot more content for you coming up very, very soon. So that's basically the episode. You know, hopefully you like those interviews when they come up. We have a current interview up with voice actor Zach Hanks. If you don't recognize the name, he was Rex in Mass Effect. He was also McMillan in the vintage sniping level in Call of Duty 4. So we have that coming up. That's it. Part 1 is already up. We were having two more parts coming up very, very soon, along with some other interviews which are in the works. As always, go to our Twitter, Analog Addiction, and Facebook fan page. Give us a like there. More competitions are also coming up soon. If you want to follow us on the YouTube, that's Analog Addiction Video. All the trailers you want are going to be there. We have a lot more Let's Plays are going up, and hopefully have some more video content coming again very soon. If you want to follow what I want to do, what I do, you can follow me on analogaddiction.org, you can follow me on Twitter at JamieAA, simply that, and you can follow me personally on my YouTube account, JamieRock50, that's R-O-C-K-5-0. I want to say thank you for listening. Like I said, we'll be back next week with a bigger crew than myself. And until then, you can also go to analogaddiction.org to check out our thoughts of the Elder Scrolls Online beta, which is going on at the moment. So if you want to go check that out, we have extensive footage and previews of that. So, yep, thank you very much for listening, and remember to tune in next week for episode 59 as we speak about some other stuff that is going on in Analog Addiction. Until then, I would love to have your appearance at the next AA meeting.